Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and it is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We are here to talk about KU sports. Andrew, how you doing today?
We're number one in KenPom, Kevin.
Oh.
That's in basketball, not in football. Ooh. But in KenPom, at least in basketball, we are looking on the up. We're probably going to be the number two team in the country behind Duke coming up here on Monday. But we really haven't played anybody at all since that Kentucky game. So it's good to see blowouts.
Okay,
it's
Bill. We haven't played anybody.
We just made shots. But it's been a fun couple games. I'm not talking about the football team. But, you know, football's over.
It can't hurt us anymore.
It's over. Until next September, we don't even have to think about it. We will a little bit because we're going to address some of this. But today, we are going to bury the 2017 football season. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it. We're going to get it over with. We're going to also talk about who was most impressive in this week during those two blowouts. And then preview this. Okay, so on SportsCenter, this is after last week's game, there was a kid, a college student, who had a sign that said, I'm sad. We're going to talk to that kid today.
We're going to talk to him.
What do you know? I don't know anything about this kid.
His name's Cameron. He's from Topeka, so he's one of my people. And we'll just let him tell his side of the story. We'll get him on in a few minutes.
Then we're going to round up the Billy Preston rumors, all the rumors that you can find on their deep message boards, Kevin, on Twitter, that what's going around the boardrooms, what's going around the coffee pots around the Lawrence and Kansas City area. We're going to round them all up. They're probably all false. They're not true. But we're going to round them all up. Then we're going to preview next week's games versus Toledo and Syracuse. Maybe we'll close with some hay beals. I don't know.
We'll
but
see.
Anyway, I'm going to give you an opening question, Kevin. Before we get on to football, I want to give you a basketball little nugget that you can play with your friends at home on this question, because I thought it was pretty interesting. And I think I saw your answers. Your answers are different than my answers. But here's the question. Alabama yesterday had to play with three players in the last 10 minutes. First of all, their entire bench got ejected because of a fight. So they were playing with five guys. Then a guy fouled out. Then a guy got hurt. Okay, so they had to play with three guys for the last 10 minutes. During that 10 minutes, they outscored Minnesota and almost won. Minnesota is a top 15 team. They almost won that game.
Yeah, they came back. Sexton. They cut it to like two or three, didn't they?
Yeah. Colin Sexton, former KU recruit, went 40 and played incredible. But here's the question. If we were ever in that situation and we got to choose who were our three players to be on the floor to play versus five, who would you want on the floor?
I thought about this for a minute. I'm going with Malik, LeGerald, and Devontae. And here's the reason. I kind of wanted a big guy, but I also want people that can make threes and people that can get to the hole. And most importantly, people that aren't going to get tired, because you're going to be tired if you're playing 3-on-5. Because theoretically, the other people can sub guys out, keep them fresh. You got three, and that's it. So I went with Malik, LeGerald, and Devontae. You get to the rim, they could spot up, they could shoot. Even if there's big guys guarding, you know, most of the time they're not going to go get offensive rebounds anyway because you got only three guys. So that wasn't a premium. I'm going with those three.
Okay, I went with Devontae, LeGerald, and Doak.
See, I know Doak's going to get tired, but you've got to have somebody play defense.
He can cover a lot of ground on the defensive end because he can just stand under the basket. If you're playing, because they played kind of a zone. They just had like two guys at the free throw line and one at the basket. I think you kind of need that. So similar, but I did go with a big guy who will probably get tired.
You need someone to rebound, though, so I get that.
Yeah, LeGerald and Devontae can drive. That's kind of what you need in this. But I think the most important thing to come out of this is LeGerald Vick is probably our best player. We both included him on this.
I think Devontae's still our best overall player, but LeGerald is in the conversation.
I'm writing for LeGerald. LeGerald is killing it this year.
He is killing it. I completely agree. Devontae has not played well offensively, and he's still been in control of the games almost every single game. So I'm not quite there yet. I'm not gonna get off the Devontae bandwagon anytime soon. But I get it. I mean, I get the discussion.
But 5 games ago, before the season started, would we have included LeGerald?
We weren't even sure he was gonna start. We were trying to figure out who that. I mean, we
knew he was good. We knew he was good, but we didn't know he was this good.
Yeah, he's been playing great. He's made a huge leap, and we should have sort of seen it coming a little bit because he played really well in Italy, and he played really well in all the basically every game he's played that we've seen him in 2017. This part of 2017, anyway. So yeah, I've been really impressed, man. And good news is, he's been really consistent too. I mean, that's awesome.
Okay, Kevin, let's move on and get your shovel, bring it out, put it on your shoulder.
Okay.
Get some dirt. Let's bury the 2017 KU football season and deep. Never
real deep
discuss it again. Yesterday we lost to Oklahoma State 58-17, but we covered Kevin. I think the line was 41 or 43 or whatever it was. We covered that line, which this is gross. We finished the season 1-11. I think it's important to note that after the game, Shea and Zenger announced immediately that Beatty would continue on as the football coach. So we will not have this will they or won't they fire David Beatty. He will be back next year, at least for the first game. You have some. You went and did the time to listen to Beatty's post game interview. I did not do that. So, did he say?
So here's a quote from the beginning of the season. He said, "Hard work would start paying dividends, and that quote dividends are reflected in wins." End quote. And that quote winning is a requirement for programs to survive. End quote. These were his. This is what he was talking about before the season, right? This is what people are talking about. Hey, we might win 4 games this year. 3 or 4 games wouldn't be bad. No, that didn't happen. And then here's what he said after the game. This game. Quote, winning is a premium in college football. There's no doubt about it. But there's different situations out there, and we are in the process of one. End quote. You get that?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Winning is a premium in college football. There's no doubt about it. I got that part. But then here's the qualifier, which I don't think qualifies anything. But there's different situations out there, and we are in the process of one.
See, I'm trying to figure out, in high school or middle school, you have to diagram your sentences and what words refer back to certain words in terms of what they modify. I'm trying to figure out what one refers to. Process of one. Are we talking about a process of a different situation?
Maybe he's talking about one win because that's what they got. One process win. Of one. Process of one win. Ugh. Oh, man.
Okay, I'll just say this. I'm a Dave Beatty guy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We can only handle so much. How long can we go on like this?
Yeah. Well, so here's the deal. Let's fast forward a little bit. The next season, right? We've got our non-conference schedule is Nicholls State at Central Michigan and then Rutgers at home. Nicholls State is an FCS opponent, but they went 8-4 this year. So never know. Central Michigan, obviously we know how that went at home this year, and we play them on the road and they're 8-4. And then we got Rutgers at home, who's terrible, but they still won 4 games this year. So they're 4-8. Andrew, if he loses to Nicholls State, the conversation has to begin right away, right?
The conversation has to begin right away. I don't think you fire him after one game.
Okay.
But, Shane Zenger fired Charlie Weiss in late September after an 0-4 start or a 1-3 start. 1-3 start.
Then you play at Central Michigan. Honestly, can't expect to win that game. But if they do, I mean, great. But if they lose – and they lose convincingly, the conversation, if let's just say they beat Nicholls State by 10, if you lose at Central Michigan by 5 or 10, you know, whatever, that's probably what it's supposed to be. But if you lose by 40 and then you lose at home to Rutgers, I think that conversation gets real strong. I mean, the drumbeat is going to be pretty loud, right?
Yeah. So I mean, definitely. So, I mean, he's it'll follow a similar trajectory. I mean, I hate to say it, but like probably that September 20th, 25th date, you know, I think that's when a move will be. Well, I don't know. Anything after that. I think you give him those first couple games, and then if it's looking bad, there's no progress, then, you know, you put put somebody else in there for the rest of the year and start looking for a new coach and maybe start looking for a new athletic director. And I'm a Papa Shayan guy. I'm a Shayan Zanger guy too. But does he, I don't know if he gets three football hires.
Shay-Z. Andrew, let's talk about Beatty for a second. So I was looking at the 18 class. He has more decommits from Texas than commits so far. Oh. Remember when we talked about he was going to come in and recruit Texas?
He gets them to sign and then he can't keep
zero.
Them.
Zero in 18 so far. Zero. Oh. And there's two of them that were committed and decommitted. And then we talked about that Louisiana connection everyone was so fired up about. Well, three of our top four decommits are from Louisiana. And then that we like, that's okay. Like we recognize that some of those were going to go. The problem is, our top four of our six remaining recruits in terms of like stars are also from Louisiana. How many of those guys are going to stick around? We've already seen four of them drop out. I'm sorry, three of them drop out. There's four more there. Do you think we get two of those guys to campus? One?
No.
Maybe none? I mean, no. So if you lose all those guys, that's basically what's making up our top 71 class, which I think we're in the 70s somewhere. If we lose all those guys and then don't fill them up with other four stars and good three stars, it's not going to look very good next year. That's not good at all. And then, Andrew, remember everyone's knock against Weiss? All the transfers, right? Transfers. You're killing your class because you don't want these transfers. And now, guess how much freaking transfers Beatty's brought in?
I don't even know.
39% of his recruit, almost 40% are transfers. 21 JUCO guys and 8 Division I players. Here's the problem, Andrew. Of those 8, only one of them played a down this year.
Which is a very similar problem to Charlie Weiss.
Sounding a lot like Chuck.
He's getting a lot of those transfers.
Dream team.
And then two of those guys robbed a house, and then two guys didn't show up, and then one of the guys like mysteriously just didn't play. Yeah, this is weird.
Here's the problem, and it's obvious why Zanger would come out and say what he did, right? It's, I know I'm not going to get a third coaching hire, like Zanger saying that, right? I'm pretty sure. So I'm obviously going to try to give this guy all the support I can. Because if he's out, I might be out. So, like, what do we expect him to say after the season? Do we expect him to be like, oh, boy, we're really disappointed. We're going to be looking really closely at this. Or is he going to do, you know, sunshine pumping? Because if you say he's terrible at his job, you're basically saying I'm terrible at my job. So,
right. Well, and I think you've got to. He's got some semblance of a recruiting class coming in. Hopefully they show up and hopefully they play. You fire him now, you go back to zero. I mean, you go back to square one. They all decommit. Everyone goes away. You have nothing. So, I think it's right. I don't think they should have fired him. But man, Shane Zanger may not be looking closely at it, but we definitely are.
Yeah,
we as the listeners of this podcast and you and I, Kevin, will definitely be looking at it. We are Beatty guys, but we can only take so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It being a Beatty guy, like I want to be a Beatty guy. Like I like the idea of Beatty, but then after games and he comes out and talks all positive and everything, and everybody, like every single person wants him to just blow up once. Can you just have one like not robotic answer? I am really positive. I am David Beatty. I must be super positive about everything. Like, can't you just come out and be like, listen, guys, we suck. And we got to look at ourselves in the mirror and figure this out. Or I effed up. Like, I am effing up. And I'm going to look myself in the mirror and fix this. I hear you. Throw a freaking chair or something.
I think that there's a fine line between showing some emotion and Charlie Weiss's pile of crap comment. I don't think you want to go that far. I think that may have set our program back even further. But just that one sentence.
You're probably right.
Okay, I'm done talking about KU football. And luckily, we don't have to do this for a long time now. I'm glad we got it over with. We have a lot of basketball to come up. I do have a couple segments that we could do down the road, maybe after basketball season, that I've kind of already put together. I haven't shared this with you. But it's the top 10 people to blame for KU football.
Okay.
And they're not just like head coaches. Like they're pretty conspiracy theory.
I like that.
People to blame. So like look for that down the road, folks. We may talk football, but it'll be in a funny context. Yeah. Charlie Weiss is on that list, but he's not number one.
All right. I mean, Lou's on the list, but then we can
Lou's on the list.
I like the idea of much further down the than like I like that a lot.
Let's just say Tyshawn Taylor's on that list too.
I think I know why. All right, we'll get to that someday. Andrew, let's pause for a second and let's bring on our guy Cameron, and he's gonna tell us why he's so sad. All right, we are back and we are joined by Cameron. It's Cameron Werner, right?
Yes, that
is Cameron, correct. My man, from the SportsCenter fame. Are you impressed that you made it on SportsCenter, like not with athletic ability or just holding a sign? Would you have preferred to do it with athletic ability?
It depends on what I was looking for.
Fair enough.
I kind of like having the sign approach. It's less of a chance to embarrass myself in any way.
There you go. I like that. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, man. So let's do a quick kind of rundown of what happened here. This is back from the Oklahoma game. I went to that game with my son. My son is 8 months old. We made it through a quarter. He actually made it longer than I made it, I think, in that game. But we made it back. Actually, you know, things weren't going bad in that quarter. That was actually a good quarter of football. Yeah. It could have been a whole lot worse. In fact, it could have been a whole lot better, too. But we're not going to talk about football. By the way, we buried the football season before you joined this podcast. About 5 minutes ago, we just buried it. So it's underground. But we're going to talk about it a little bit because I want to talk with you about the sign. So we left. We get home. We're watching the game. And all of a sudden, I see this. We see the Baker Mayfield stuff. I shield my son's eyes because, of course, that's terrible that we see a guy show some emotion on the sideline. And
awful.
And the kids. Think of the kids. And so then we see the sign, right? The I'm sad guy. And I start laughing. And then we see it on SportsCenter and the whole thing and got a huge kick out of it. So give us some background about the sign.
Well, it started, I have a friend in the band whose family had the idea to make a sign that said pay the band. Oh. Because, I mean, who doesn't feel bad for the band at a certain point? So I wanted to put something on the backside of that, and I had no idea what. And then I found out the back of that was like navy blue, so nothing could write on it. So I went to the store, bought new poster board, and I mean, like, what are the two most simple things you can put to describe how you're feeling during a KU football game? Usually it's sad, and occasionally, like in the first quarter, you can put happy, but I decided I was going to save that mostly for the basketball season.
There you go.
So for most of the game, it was just every time something bad would happen, which we all know is every 3-4 minutes, just flash up the I am sad sign.
I'm sad.
Try and that one was for TV, and then pay the band was more to try and get on the video board, but I had no idea that it was going to blow up the way that it did.
That's pretty funny. So I think I heard from somewhere, maybe it was in the Kansan article, you're a bigger KU football fan than basketball fan. Is that right? Or close to it?
Yeah, I would say I get more emotionally invested in the football team than I do the basketball team.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless your heart.
Yeah, I've had season tickets since I was pretty much born. So grew up going to the football games every week. Never really had basketball tickets. So therefore, I just kind of how my family is.
Man, I did the same thing, sat through a lot of those Nebraska games, 60-0, a lot of those K-State games that were absolutely disgusting. I was right there with you. You're from Topeka, right?
Yeah, I'm from Topeka.
Right. So me too, man. So yeah, us Topeka people don't have a lot to do on Saturdays. So
Nope. Let's
go watch KU get stomped every week. But you, exactly. you saw a good little period of time there. So you were probably like middle school when we were good. Is that right?
Yeah, between like fourth and seventh grade was about when that was about as long as that lasted.
Oh man. All right. Well, do you remember it at least?
Oh, I remember all of it.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, that's probably the time you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna be good, at least be good when your formative memories are
forming,
you know, assembled for sports. Like between fourth and seventh grade, that's when you kind of come into your own. Now you understand things. Like, oh, Todd Reesing, he is good. I understand why. And then when you see the rest of it, it's like, wow, this team is bad. And I know why. They're bad.
I'm lucky I can remember it because otherwise I don't think I would be sticking through this season at least.
Yeah. All right. So
well, here's a question. Oh, did you go to every game?
I can count on one hand the games I've missed since 2003.
Wow. So we were having a conversation in our tailgate group. Amongst our tailgate group, only one made it to every game this year. And I think that we were going to do something special for him. So if you're a listener of the J-Hawk Talk podcast and you made it to every game, let us know on Twitter. We'll do something special for you because you deserve some kind of medal or maybe some iguana dip or something. Because there's probably, you know, just in terms of every game, over under 500 people.
Yeah, do the math. You can just look in the stands. I mean, the band maybe. The band doesn't count. Like you said, pay the band.
They have to be there.
Pay the band.
Pay the band.
Pay the band. Well, that's true. All right. Well, that's good stuff. So since you're a bigger KU football fan, give us your prediction for next year. I guess before you get there, you're a KU football fan, but are you also like a realist about KU football?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So
how many wins did you expect us to have before this season?
I was hoping for four. Realistically, I thought at least three.
Okay. All right. There you go. That's pretty consistent, I think.
I had my hopes at four, but I wasn't sure if we were going to get it.
Okay. We didn't get it.
No, not even close.
Well, you're talking to two guys who are probably in the same boat. I mean, we've predicted publicly on this podcast that we were going to go to a bowl game
every year,
a couple years ago.
Every year we find 13, a way to 14, get there.
15, I think we found a way to get us to a bowl game, and we haven't gotten close. I don't think we have the past 2 years.
Last season in 2016, if things had gone a couple different ways, we could have been a 5-win team, which is the crazy thing to think about.
Yeah,
there's
only
a possibility, but
they would have given Beatty a lifetime extension. So
not sure how that would have gone.
Okay, so what's your prediction for next year? Put your crimson and blue glasses on, but also your realist hat. Where are we at?
Two
wins.
I want three at least. Probably two.
And is two wins enough to say adios to Beatty and or Zanger or both?
I think it'd be enough to say bye to Zinger. I think Beatty's going to get five no matter what.
Really?
I think he should get his five. That's just how I am about it, though.
Yeah, we've been on here saying we think four is for sure. Like, I've said that all along on Twitter and everywhere else. You've seen the drumbeat on Twitter, like, get rid of everybody, right? But and KU Twitter is all about getting rid of everybody. I think you got to give him one more year. And by one more year, like if it starts dovetailing and he loses the team, you know, halfway through the year, then that changes things. Like that's different. Like we saw that with Charlie, but as long as they're competitive and maybe looking a little better, he's going to get the whole year next year, I think.
Yeah. But I think he'll get it no matter what, unless there's a loss to Nicholls State week one.
Yeah, we were talking about that just a minute ago.
That's the only way to get rid of him for good.
Man, they're 8-4 this year. Watch out for Nicholls State.
Hey, Kevin, while we have a real-life KU student here, can you kind of just give me, not necessarily your opinion or your thoughts, but like what is the general thought amongst KU students on the football? Like going to games on the team, is it kind of afterthought? No one thinks about it? Or what? Like they just, we just don't go? Or what is it?
Most students don't know who they play week by week. It's all basketball. I'm sure as everyone knows, football is kind of a dedicated sports, passionate person. Like, you have to be super into sports to sit through a KU football game.
Do you leave the stadium at halftime and come back, or do you stay through halftime?
I sit through halftime.
Oh my gosh. You are a saint. Yep.
That's my time to scroll Twitter.
All right. Fair enough. That's good stuff. So what's the plan for the signs going forward? The I'm happy, I'm sad. What do they live on?
I would like them to. I'm not too sure. The last two games, I've struggled to get them into the basketball game because supposedly it's too big. So they told me after this last one that I either need to cut it in half or make it smaller.
Huh.
So we'll see if that lives on. I would like to continue to take other little signs, maybe change it, because the same two things are going to get tired eventually. I noticed.
But if you got a stick, though, last man, game, own it. Own the stick.
Yeah. I noticed the last game, they really were struggling to put it up on the board. I think the people in the video room are looking for new things.
Fair enough. So. Well, that's good. All right. Well, once you land on the next thing, we want to know about it. All right. So we can watch for it. We're big sign guys. We like the signs. Big sign guys. So Cameron, you do a podcast as well. KU View, yes. Correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I listen to the podcast. I like it. So tell us about the KU View.
Well, my idea for starting that was essentially there are journalists already that have the entire KU sports thing locked down, like the Lawrence Journal World and the KUSports.com and those guys. So I wanted to go with a different approach of the student side of things, the younger fans, like 23 and under, who are on campus and have the ability to be there and get into the obscure games like women's soccer for free. And that's really the idea behind it. My friend Andrew and I are the ones running it full time at this point. A lot of football and basketball, I'm sure, as you noticed if you listened to it, we'll be switching obviously to full-time basketball now, but I feel like there's such a different side to the sports when you are in the student section and you notice different things around campus that a lot of other people can't get the idea to feel. And I wanted to share that side.
So being around campus, you, I assume, can tell us with 100% certainty what kind of car Billy Preston was driving then, right?
I wish I knew what kind of car Billy Preston was driving. Clear this whole situation up.
Did you give it to him? We didn't give it to him.
No, wasn't
all
me.
Right. All right, fair enough. Well, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Find Cameron at the KU View, the KU View podcast. Do you want to plug your own personal handle too, or is the KU View where you want him following you?
More people follow at the KU View. If you want to find my personal Twitter, it is at CAM3RONW as well.
Right on. Well, hey, man, thanks so much for coming on. Good luck with the signs and with the podcast the rest of the season. Holler at us if you ever need anything, all right?
All right, will do. Thank you for having me.
See you, Cameron. All right. Thanks again to Cameron for coming on and joining us. Appreciate that and appreciate the sign game. Always a big fan of signs. Are you a sign guy?
I'm a sign guy. I've never actually brought a sign to a game.
Me neither. I respect signs, but I'm not a sign maker.
I always think I have a good one, but I never execute it. I think it's the guys who are out there coming up with them. And you know what? This is what I don't like about signs. When they're too complicated. You can't read it.
That's right.
You can't see it. Like when they've just taken like a single line and like think it, you can see it on TV. You've got to like think about TV. You've got to think about people seeing it across the stadium. So you got to put like, you know, big bubble letters, you know, like middle school making a sign for a raffle bubble letter style. Mm-hmm. And then you got to be simple about it. Mm-hmm. Elegance. And I think that the simple "I am happy, I am sad" is
that's simple. You know,
there's a lot of elegance in simplicity, and I think that he captured it with that. Kevin, let's give a little weekly roundup. instead of just going game by game, like, oh, let's talk about the Texas Southern game now. Now let's talk about Oakland. I've averaged all of the stats for this week.
Cool.
And I just want to go through some of these. They're all very impressive. So I'm going to give you some of these average stats, and I want to tell you who had the best week from these two past games.
Okay.
Okay, these are the two games where we've scored over 100 points. I think we averaged 108 points this week, which is awesome because I love when we go over 100 points. I love
something
it.
About there's, it, isn't it?
There's something about it.
There's something about it.
Century mark, I love it. Okay, so let's start with Doak. Averaged 20.5 points and 9.5 rebounds this week. Devonte averaged 15.5 points and 9 assists. Sfi, 17.5 points. I think he was our leading scorer this week. And went 6 of 10 from 3-point range. Malik got a little bit better. Averaged 13.5 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And he guarded Kendrick Nunn, whatever his name is, from Oakland. He was at one point the leading scorer in the NCAA. And he played defense against him, allowed him 23 points, but on 21 shots, he was challenged by Bill Self to guard him. And I think he did pretty good. I think his defense really took a step forward on giving that challenge. LeGerald, you know, standard excellence of average of 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. Marcus Garrett off the bench, 11.5 points and 4 rebounds. And then Mitch. My boy, Mitch.
You love Mitch.
I love Mitch.
You and my wife are the biggest Mitch
points,
fans.
5.5 rebounds and 3 blocks was his average. I love Mitch. You had this segment that you came up with last week. Sorry, Mitch. Like, Mitch, you're not going to get to play next year. Mitch is great, okay? Mitch is not great offensively yet, and he's not strong yet. But if Mitch gets stronger and develops an offensive game, Mitch is going to be great.
What about
Mitch
a rebounding game? Like, what about like using two hands to rebound? Is he going to like get that game developed too?
You can teach that. You can teach that. This other stuff you can't teach. And really, I was talking to Statboy, and Statboy is doing a thing this year where he's going to do a stat histogram graph stat thing for every game. Follow him at KU Statboy.
Ooh,
they're pretty good. He's getting an advanced degree in statistics. I don't know what the degree program is called, but he'll be a math nerd.
Super nerd.
Super nerd through University of Kansas. So he knows how to do all this deep regression analysis stuff. So he and I were talking about Mitch. This brings us back to Mitch. He said that Mitch just needs to be a stretch four. If you're talking about the stats of it, if Mitch fits the mold of a stretch four.
Yeah,
doesn't need to do anything crazy on the offensive end. He just needs to be a stretch four. On the defensive end, he just needs to do what he does. He's pretty good defense on the defensive end.
I agree. He's pretty good on the defensive end.
But I don't think that we're going to say that Mitch was the most impressive this week. Kevin, amongst all of those gentlemen I mentioned, who had the best week?
And it's hard not to say LeGerald. He had an awesome week. And then really Sfi. Man, Sfi was great too. I think Sfi was 60% from three, right? Yeah. So, man, I think it's probably between those two. Obviously, Doak got it going. I'm kind of with Bill. He kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more. Part of that's not his fault. Part of it needs to get the ball a little more and stay out of foul trouble. He'd have probably played 5 more minutes in that game, maybe more, if he'd have not been in foul trouble. He basically set most of the first half, and he was really got going in that last game too. So, I'll go with LeGerald. I think it's tough, but LeGerald's just been so consistent.
I'm gonna go with Doak. Average 20 and 10, and leaves you wanting more. That's
true.
A sign he's growing up a little bit. I think that's taking a step forward. If he could only make free throws, it'd be an All-American.
Oh my God, yeah. He might not have drew iron on that first free throw. I'm pretty sure that was I don't think he hit the rim on the first one. Anyway. The good news is he hit the rim on all the rest of them.
Hey, there should be an additional statistic for Udoka. Yeah, his free throw percentage is 43%, and he hits the rim on 80% of his shots. Anyway, that's wrapping up Texas Southern and Oakland. There was a lot of points to go around from those two games. Hopefully we continue that continue that trend and get over 100 points. I like when we do that. Let's do that against Syracuse, too. Before we get into some Big 12 talk and preview next week, we're going to do the Billy Preston Rumors Central.
Vroom, vroom. All right.
All the
rumors.
The prumors, the rumors, whatever you want to call it.
Andrew,
It's only a handful of things, but what did you hear?
I heard this week. Listen, just a source on Twitter that said it was a Lamborghini. All right. Like very clearly.
This is from Twitter.
This is Twitter said unequivocally, and when I say Twitter, I mean someone on Twitter. My source on Twitter said it was a Lamborghini.
Okay.
And I replied.
One of our buddies who heard it from, I think, someone at the country club, and Lawrence also said it was a Ferrari.
Okay. All right.
I think both of those things are not true.
Have you ever seen
a Lamborghini in Lawrence, Kansas?
I don't think so. We're trying to set the line on how many Lamborghinis are in Lawrence right now.
And it's 0.5.
It's probably, well, I said it at one, but
we're not talking about driving through on I-70 at the moment. we're talking about in someone's garage.
In terms of Lambos that live and stay in Lawrence, I agree the line is 0.5. Maybe someone has a second car and a second house and like in Lawrence. And so like they keep a Lambo there. Like that's basically all we're talking about. There are no Lamborghinis on campus. I can tell you that. But
if a Lamborghini drove through campus and Billy Preston was driving it, everyone would know. Like I'm not even connected much to the university anymore in terms of like people on the ground, like Cameron, maybe Cameron would know. We're not even connected like we used to be. But I think we would know in 5 minutes if Billy Preston was driving a Lamborghini on campus. We would know in 5 minutes.
The funny part was like, it was said so seriously. And I replied, you know, did like the quote tweet. And I was like, I don't think this is true, but I hope it is. And then Tolly Cochran, you guys remember Tolly Bear, immediately replied and said, a Lambo. Like he really wanted it to be true too, but laughing at the absurdity of it. So, I hope it's a Lamborghini. I hope it's a Ferrari.
You've got Lamborghini.
Yeah.
From last week, Dodge Charger. This is a rumor from last week.
That's the one that people keep saying. Yeah. Twitter's really grasped on to Dodge Charger being the car. So I don't know.
And then I've got another one for you that popped up both on Twitter and from the Wichita business community is passing this rumor around.
Ooh, I like this.
We're going all over the state for how these rumors travel that it was Aaron Miles's car.
Ah, there you go. Well, he's in Florida, right? Is it Florida plates?
Are they Florida plates? I have no idea.
I think I heard they were Florida plates.
Well, that would see that anyway. There's another rumor. Florida plates. We'll throw that on.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to write that one in. Yeah. I heard Florida plates.
So he was the assistant coach under Joe Dooley at Florida Gulf Coast,
but now is
the head coach of the Warriors D League team.
That's right. So maybe he just didn't need the car. He didn't need it. He was just driving through Kansas and dropped it off.
You guys just take my car.
It's the community car. He just parks it right at the dorm and they say whoever needs to use a car.
Yeah. My fraternity had that. Somebody just had a car, like they just left the keys, like, oh, where's the keys? Like, oh, just and everybody just drove it around.
Yeah.
Like, had one of those.
What's the difference here? There's no difference. Like if we're allowed to have a barber inside their dorm and like
have community
10 personal chefs, you should be able to have a community car. Right. Like they should be able to have a community car. And honestly, they should have a community car and it should be a safe car. It should be like a Honda Pilot or like something that's going to keep them safe. Like if they're going to get into a fender bender, it needs to be something that has a 5-star safety rating. I don't know if a Dodge Charger does.
Have someone else driving it at all times.
That's also true. All right.
What are the updated odds for what you think he'll play this year?
So at Thanksgiving, we were talking about 50-50. I think that was the number that everyone kept saying, about 50-50 chance that we see him this year. 50-50. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm starting to feel bad about it.
So interestingly, after the game, I listened to the radio show, and then I was sitting there undoing Christmas lights while I was listening to the post game. Like, this is the one where like David Lawrence interviews people on the sideline, and it's just awful interviews and blah blah blah. But
they're awful. They're so bad. David Lawrence, bad. I love you, but oh my God, David's, he does his best.
David's rough. It's not his fault all the time, but man, it's rough. They're so bad. You know who the best one was?
It's not LeGerald Vick.
No, he's pretty bad. And Malik wasn't very good either. Although apparently Malik gave someone a quote. I saw this on Twitter, a Twitter guy. He said, what's your best skill outside basketball? And he said, coloring. So I hope.
Well, you know what? I'll just say this. Own that, Malik. If you're good at that, just then tell people you're good at that. If you're really good at it.
I love that so much.
Like, no. know what you're good at.
Tian was the best, though. Tian was really good because Tian was on there and he gave a complete rundown scouting report on the red team. So he gave a quick kind of a bullet point hitters on all the Lawson brothers, on Sam Cunliffe, on everyone in the group. It was pretty good actually listening to him. And then one of his quotes, though, as he was talking about that, he said, it's different now that Billy is on the red team. And then he said, Billy's on the red team for the short period of time that we have him before he comes back. That was his quote. So Billy is on the red team right now.
Okay, so let's talk about the red team right now. Charlie Moore, Dedrick Lawson, KJ Lawson, Cunliffe, Billy Preston, probably. Sam Cunliffe. Let's just say those guys had to play 40 minutes a game.
They'd win the Big 12.
They'd win the Big 12.
I mean, maybe. You got basically every position you need.
Would they be our starting five?
No.
I don't know. Would it be a race?
No, I don't think so. Too strong in the wing. Too strong. Okay, and then also from TN on this, on Sam Cunliffe, because this is good, because a lot of people don't know Cunliffe, and we've just sort of seen some highlight videos. He said, he's super athletic, freak athlete, dunks everything. I like the sound of that. And he says he has a great outside stroke and he can be a defensive stopper too. So basically he's going to be the Big 12 player of the year. It sounds like in half a season. I like the sound of that, but then, so here's another one on Preston. This is from Self. He said, it's not on our schedule. It's on somebody else's schedule. Okay.
NCAA.
Oh, here's another one from Malik. This is another post game interview. It's nice to be a big man surrounded by four guards, whether it's Doak, Mitch, or Billy when we get him back.
Huh? Okay.
So those are the only things I have to hold on to. Twitter rumors and reading between the lines of high or college kids getting interviewed after the game. Either way, it sounded somewhat positive listening to the players talk. And if you listen to Twitter, he was riding around in a helicopter. So who knows? So yeah, that was
aircraft
really impressive.
Carrier taking
Central.
Him to class.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's move on, Andrew.
Okay.
This is your idea, so I'm going to let you own this.
Oh. This we started thing. A LinkedIn page. So I think a lot. We've grown up with this podcast a little bit. This is our sixth season, I think, doing this. We've been doing this since 2012.
Yeah.
Fifth or sixth. I don't know the math. I think we've grown up with it. And I think that our listeners have grown up with this too. And where our listeners maybe before were, you know, maybe just finishing college or just starting their careers. Now they're a little more into it. And so I think that we needed a LinkedIn page to connect with, because I think we're more of an older crowd podcast now, where I think before we were a younger crowd podcast.
Okay.
I think that the KU View has stepped in and definitely taken over the younger crowd. And we've kind of given that up. So we've started a LinkedIn page, and you should connect with us, and you can listen to us on your LinkedIn page at work or wherever else. So yeah, just search for us. We'll find you somehow.
It's kind of interesting, Andrew. I searched Jayhawk, just going to LinkedIn and type in Jayhawk. Here's how LinkedIn very much differs from Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else. We're like the second result for Jayhawk. Just typing in Jayhawk. Jayhawk Talk pops up right away. There's both a group and a person. We would love for you to connect with both. just connect, just put your name. We're not going to do anything with, don't worry about like people following and going like, you know, whatever. We're not going to interact with you other than to say, if you want to join the group, we can start discussions. And it looks like when you're at work and you're on LinkedIn,
this is where we'll share rumors.
It's like a message board, but we're using LinkedIn to do it. So yeah, it's going to be,
share. You, if you want to find out which style of Lamborghini Billy Preston was, we'll be able to do that.
And we're pretty sure LinkedIn is probably going to kick us off at some point, because I think you're supposed to be a person on LinkedIn, and we are clearly advertising as Jayhawk Talk Podcast, but we'll see. Like, hopefully the group sticks around. So come connect. Andrew and I have connected. You can come connect with Andrew and I, and we are on LinkedIn now. So again, because we're grown up. We're grown ups now.
But we're sort super of
grown up.
We're super you have grown a child.
I tell me about it. Jesus. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. I am grown up. And it's a weekend. All right, Andrew, let's talk about some Big 12 stuff.
Let's wrap this up quick. Let's go through this, because Big 12, who cares at this point? But we've had some good games.
There's like some good games.
Last week we mentioned that there's been the Big 12 was challenged this week, and I think there were some good wins. I'll do a first couple of these, Kevin. Texas Tech dump-trucked a ranked Northwestern team. I mean, destroyed them.
Yeah, it's
bad. Northwestern is not ranked anymore and does not deserve to be ranked ever again after
maybe
that.
Not.
After that beating by Texas Tech. And you know what? Texas Tech, pretty good.
Yeah. We talked about them being like the one kind of wild card. And yeah,
they're not a wild card anymore.
No more wild card. Yeah. They're pretty good.
They're not hidden. They're not hidden. I mean, no one was talking about them. Everyone was kind of putting them near the bottom of their rankings. They're currently 16th in KenPom. Wow. With a good win against Northwestern there. They've got a couple challenges coming up against Seton Hall. That's on Thursday.
That'll be a good game.
But otherwise, Baylor beat Wisconsin here in Kansas City. That was in the Hall of Fame Classic. A&M beat Oklahoma State by 18. Oklahoma State has not surprised anybody. They're gonna be bad. Baylor beat a decent Creighton team to get into that final against Wisconsin up here in Kansas City. West Virginia didn't play anybody great. They've got a couple of challenges coming up.
Man, they almost lost to Marist.
Yeah, they won.
It was a 2-point game with like 4 minutes left. They gave up 52 points.
In Missouri today on Sunday, the 26th. I will be watching that instead of football.
West Virginia. That's the first time I'll like sing and be a fan of them. I'm going to.
Missouri. Did we talk about Michael Porter last week?
We did not. Although we briefly talked about it a couple weeks ago when I brought up the 2-minute game. And we sort of implied like, what if that's it? And that was it. I mean, I'm not going to throw stones at injury stuff. Like, I don't do that. But
this is, you're right.
It was tough not to.
Publicly, I am saying, heartbreaking.
Heartbreak, just rough. You seem like a good kid, nice family, just rough, you know.
Oh, just tough
for that, you know, for that kid, the family, and the
heart, just
the crowd.
Makes you feel bad. Oh, it's just terrible.
Tough, you know. I think he'll be okay, but man. But like, inside, you're like,
nope, stop right there. Stop, Kevin, stop. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it.
Deep breath. All right.
Okay, good. K-State lost a heartbreaker to Arizona State. Who cares? Texas beat Butler and then almost beat Duke.
That was a great game. 80. Thank God.
Up by like 15 and a half time.
Thank God for Bovada live betting, Andrew, because when I saw that Duke was down by 15, I went straight to Bovada and bet that Duke plus 7.5. Basically my entire account. Like, they are going to make this a game. Plus 7.5. And then, Andrew, they cut it to 7, and I bet a bunch on the money line. I was just like, whatever. I'm already up. If you are into college basketball betting and you are not doing live betting when there's games like that, you are missing out. It is awesome. Especially when KU gets down and that line changes a little bit. Ooh, boy, I get so excited. Okay, sorry. OU lost to a pretty good Arkansas team. Arkansas, maybe decent. TCU beat New Mexico. They're still undefeated. That was probably the toughest person they've played. And then, as we mentioned, Texas lost in OT to Duke. Some good games this week, man. We've been having some good Big 12 games. And Big 12 largely, you know, keeping it competitive. I think We're showing out in the Big 12 today. Huge games. Some of these have already probably happened by the time you listen, but Texas, Gonzaga, OU, Oregon. And then, as you mentioned, Mizzou, West Virginia. Tomorrow, Monday, there's no games. Tuesday, Baylor versus Xavier, ranked number 15. That will be a good game. Really excited for that one. Wednesday, Belmont, TCU. Thursday, as you mentioned, Seton Hall, Texas Tech. And Saturday, Andrew, I'm excited for this one, Wichita State versus Baylor.
I'm going to watch that one.
So there's some good games, good old games in the Big 12, formidable Big 12.
I think so. Okay, Kevin, let's move on and talk about our games this week. We've got Toledo, KenPom 153. But the most important thing, Nico's brother plays for Toledo.
How about that?
Nico's brother played at Lawrence High. He's also Norm's son, obviously assistant coach Norm Roberts' son, but mostly Nico's brother. He plays for that team. I don't think he plays a ton, but it'd be good to see Nico's brother.
It's true.
They played really well against Syracuse. They made 12 threes against Syracuse. Should have won that game. Got close at the end. And this is all part of this made-up tournament that we're playing in. I don't even know what it's called.
I don't either. Something in Miami, right? Isn't it the whatever?
Yeah, and then the championship, the preset championship of this fake tournament, is on a Saturday against Syracuse. And Syracuse isn't as good as they have been in the past, so people are sleeping on this game. But I will tell you this, don't sleep on Syracuse. Never forget Syracuse 2003. Jerry McNamara, Carmelo Anthony.
Talk about 12 threes.
And that Hakeem work. Don't put this game aside. This is a revenge game, even if it goes back 14 years. 15 years, whatever.
Where'd you watch that game in 03?
I watched that game in a basement at my friend Aaron Giles' house with 30 people. Nah, probably 30. It was a lot of people. It was a lot of people who had already decided to go to KU because I was a senior in high school.
Oh, that's right.
So it was a lot of people who were about to go to school at KU.
I was there, and I watched it in Memorial Stadium on the video board.
Oh, that's fun.
It was the new video board. So that's where we watched it. It wasn't fun, actually. It was not fun.
Well, I mean, it probably was a fun time.
We couldn't make a free throw. All right, I'm not over that game.
Okay, but, well, this current team does not have Carmelo Anthony, but it does have Tyus Battle.
He's good.
He got hurt.
That's true. He did get hurt in Toledo.
Toledo game. Also, Frank Howard kind of stepped up.
25 points or something. Howard.
Yeah. And also, talking with Stat Boy, this guy Pashal Chukwu is like a Mitch Lightfoot stat doppelganger.
Uh-oh.
Doppelganger. They have the same stats like in college basketball. They play the same way. So look for Pashal Chukwu. He plays a little bit more than
versus than Mitch. Mitch. I can't wait.
Not a ton. They're also a good offensive rebounding team, or at least have been. And we're not
They're always good at that.
Yeah. You know, they play that zone.
Yep. Yeah, they're always good.
I mean, that's not an offensive thing, but they played the zone. These are things that we know about Syracuse.
We should crush Syracuse.
Yeah.
Like, on paper, we should crush them. We should make 100
The thing
threes.
About the zone is when teams have tried to run a zone on us so far this year, it's usually they haven't been able to do it very well. Like, they're not, you know, well-educated in how to run the zone. Syracuse is going to know how to play it.
Yeah. This isn't Baylor's zone. So, I don't know. I think this is actually going to be a closer game, unfortunately, than maybe the line. But I would love to just come out and put 100 on them, which we could. If we're making threes, this game's over. Like, if we have a cool, like, shooting night, then this could be an interesting game. But I don't know, man. We've been pretty salty from three, so I'm hoping that that continues.
Okay, Kevin.
You okay there?
I'm getting choked up here.
You joked
because I don't know if we should do this next segment.
Uh-oh. What segment is that?
I thought we retired this and you brought it back.
I didn't get tired. I didn't bring it back. Everyone on Twitter, everyone that said something said you should continue to do Hey Beal. I would like pure honesty. If you hate Hey Beal, you can tell me. It's okay.
You can tell.
You can not you. I know that you don't like this is your freaking idea and you're over Hey Beal. But I kind of want to keep it going because honestly, there's a couple of reasons. One, because it seems like most people like it. And two, because you're annoyed by it. So we need to keep it going. And because I came up with four of them this time. And you apparently came up with how many?
I didn't really do it.
Didn't do it. Yeah, I didn't do it. Okay.
But so I'll do it.
You can steal mine. Just whatever you want.
I've got a couple here.
Okay.
Hey, Beal. You go. This is Hey Beal. If you don't know the concept of this, we're not going to explain it. We're not.
Go ahead.
Hey, Beal, what's your favorite Christmas carol? I like Jingle Beals and Silver Beals.
Hey, Beal, I'm an amateur beer brewer, and I've been thinking about new flavors to try to produce. Can I use your likeness for iguana dip infused stout? We're going to call it Beal's Guana Beer. It's a working title at the moment.
All right, time out. That's a great idea. That's a great... Okay, so let's get Salty Iguana on the phone. Let's get some... we're going to do Salty Iguana Beer that's in guana dip infused. Like, you know, with all these amounts of different kinds of craft brews coming out, you know, they're trying everything. We haven't had a cheese beer.
I don't think we have.
I had a cheese beer. And if we're going to do cheese beer, you might as well do a guana dip beer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to try to get...
You do another one.
Try to get back into it here. All right.
Yeah, go ahead. Do another one.
Hey, Beal, I've been thinking about our front court depth and lack of height on the bench. What if we just put the fella Clay Young on the fella Tien's shoulders and got him like a real big jersey so no one know the difference?
All right. I like that. You're going. I'm out.
I'm done.
Out.
You're out.
Yeah, I'm out. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Coach, you ever heard of an elf on the shelf? You know, you put the little elf out there to watch the kids, make sure they're on the nice list, not naughty. I've been thinking about making a self on the shelf instead. Oh. I guess my question is, would you be willing to come sit on my mantle for a couple hours?
We need this for the team. We need a self on the shelf to make sure they go to class. Make sure they go to class to make sure that they are not driving someone else's car.
Oh man, I came up with this is a great
idea. This is beyond. This is that idea is way too good for Hey Beal.
Listen, I got two apparently really good ideas, except for the Clay Young on Tien's shoulders.
No, that's funny. That's funny. I get it.
But the amateur,
you have two like great business ideas.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna have to talk about this further. But self on the shelf, I think, could be a great Christmas, like make that up and sell.
Do you know how to make dolls?
Do you want to make a self on the shelf?
Yeah.
We could probably make, I mean, at least tens of dollars on that.
Yeah. Okay. Let us know on Twitter or in our new LinkedIn group. Would you buy a self on the shelf from us? Knowing that it's probably violating lots of different intellectual property rights. But we're going to, if we do it, you just have to keep it quiet about it.
we're going to sell it outside Buting. Just
get like, on that, get on that, their dark web and sell them self on the shelves.
Selfs on the shelves. All right. That was Hey Beal.
That was Hey Beal. I'll come up with more next week if we're going to do it.
All right. Maybe, all right. Hey, maybe we won't. Maybe that's the end of Hey Beal. Maybe
Beal,
10 people.
Self on the shelf is going to be the new thing.
All right.
So maybe that's a whole new segment.
Self on the shelf. That's actually, we should have a self on the shelf drop for when people get in trouble and then just bring it back. Yeah, absolutely. Like all right. All right, Andrew.
All right. So we've got Toledo on Tuesday, Syracuse on Saturday. Pretty good week.
I'm going to go to that Toledo game. Long story, very short. I think I'm sitting in Gary Woodland's seats.
That is a long story.
That is a long story short. It's not that interesting of a story, but mutual friends and stuff. But there you go. He's got pretty good
seats.
Not
to brag at all. Not to brag, though.
Right? He's got really good seats, as you might guess.
Yeah. Not bragging at all, though.
I wasn't.
Just information. Just information.
Listen, you're the one that's making the story longer. I said it was
Not to brag.
All right, let's get out of here. Find us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn, Andrew, at JHawk. Find us JHawk Talk Podcast. I think, I don't know, just go on LinkedIn and search JHawk and it'll pop up. Come connect. I want, how many followers or followers, how many connections do you think we can get from this podcast? I'm guessing 7.
Okay.
Take the over or under.
Ask us, send us a little invite and say, like, hey, we should grab coffee to discuss business opportunities.
Maybe 8. Okay. I'll take 8. Over
I'll
under
take the
eight.
Over. I'll take the over.
All right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't count from how many you're on there right now, which is you and me. So okay. come connect on LinkedIn with us and the podcast. We'll get the group going, mostly just to talk about, you know, Billy Preston rumors and talk
rumors
up on the zoo. So come on in at Jayhawk Talk on Twitter at Sherlock Hoops. Get out there and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes and leave a comment. Talk to us about Hey Deal if you don't mind. You can say you hate Hey Deal and still leave us a 5-star rating. That's fine too. Not going to bother me. Until next time, Andrew, hopefully we have a huge win against Toledo and a monster win against stupid Syracuse. We'll be talking about that next week. Until then, yeah. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.